Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful and glad that I never had to go to a foster home because the Flanders home is terrifying.
No.
I mean, there's lots of support and people love you and they pursue your education, but other than that, it's terrible.
There's lots to talk about in this episode.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it. Hi, guys. We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow for only $2 a month. Gain access to all of our bonus content, bonus episodes, bonus weekly written pieces, bonus bad drawings, bonus everything. Please encourage you to check it out if you want to support the show. Also, you can go to iTunes, to Stitcher, to Google Play Music, rate, review, subscribe. Give us a 5-star review. Really helps us out. Of course, word of mouth is also greatly appreciated. Tell your Simpsons loving friends about us.
That's true. Just go into a public space and yell, hey, if you love The Simpsons, The Simpsons Show. People love that kind of thing.
Yeah, but I think no one would think you're a complete crazy person if you just went to a random public space and started yelling.
I mean, they might, but there might be one or two people who would listen to us, so it's totally worth it.
Go out there and try. This week's episode is Home Sweet Home Diddly Dum Doodly. Woo! I hate episodes with titles like this because I got to type them out 100 times. And
right.
I always get it wrong. Episode 3F01, originally aired October 1st, 1995, written by John Vitti, directed by Susie Dieter. This is the first episode in
Season 7 order?
No, well, yes, in Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein's reign as showrunners. This is the first one they oversaw. It continues on until the first couple episodes of the 9th season, I believe. Let's see. Original broadcast finished 53rd in the ratings. A Nielsen rating of 9.0. Fourth highest rated show on Fox that week, following X-Files, Beverly Hills 90210, and Melrose Place. Those three seem to be routinely right above The Simpsons.
Shocking, isn't it?
Not really. I mean, all those shows were kind of in their heyday. But guess what's still on the air? The Simpsons.
That's true.
I mean, the X-Files sort
because
of.
Because their stars don't age.
X-Files sort of, too, actually.
Well, it went away for like a decade and came back for like an 8-episode limited series.
There might be more, from what I hear.
Maybe.
The chalkboard gag, no one wants to hear from my armpits.
Sorry.
It's not bad. The couch gag, the Brady, it's like a Brady Bunch style intro with all the family members in like a little grid all looking around at each other.
Yep. It's a little weird.
Surprised it took this long, honestly. Brady Bunch is kind of a, you know, relatively popular show. When was the Brady Bunch movie? It was in 1995.
Well, so that would have been within recent memory when this show was made.
February 17th, 1995. So that's why. Brady Bunch movies look very good. I really do like Brady Bunch movie. Way more than I like the TV show. It also stars Joan Kenley as the telephone lady. You know?
The telephone lady.
When Homer goes to call the Flanders.
Oh, yes. And, you're going to spoil my clip.
I'm sorry. But she is known for, like, teaching. She's like a guru of sorts about, like, speaking. She has a very famous voice. It's been used a lot. The episode begins with Marge being a homemaker.
And a dang good one at that.
So yes, Marge is very good at her job. Here's a little bit of it.
Here's your toast, Mandy. I melbified it myself. Oh, Lisa, honey, I tracked down those old newspapers for your history project.
Wow, Mom, you didn't have to go to this much trouble.
Oh, it was no trouble. The hobos at the dump were very helpful. Except one man who seemed to have mental problems.
Good morning.
Bart, it's class photo day. No Dracula fangs.
Well, they pulled off the womb.
No, they didn't. Huh? And don't put signs on your sister. Now, keep the lettuce separate until 11:30. That way, the lettuce stays moist and the bread stays dry. Huh?
Huh? Mom, you fuss over us way too much.
Enjoy it now, because when you're a grown-up, you'll have to take care of yourself.
Marge, there's a spider near my car keys.
You did the right thing by telling me.
I feel like this episode does an excellent job in... I don't know. I never see Marge as anything but kind of a hyper-competent mother.
That's true. I mean, Marge is a lot of things, actually. Let's get that out of the way. We're not trying to criticize her, but the one thing she does better than anything else is be a mom, essentially, and manage a household. She has got her systems down. She is thoroughly prepared and really good at budgeting her time.
And shortly after shooing away the spider for Homer, she is half a mother to Homer as well, shooing away a spider for Homer. Homer presents her with tickets to a 3-hour spa getaway at Mingled Waters Health Spa. Sounds lovely.
Yarp. Mingled Waters. Just sounds classy, right?
Yeah, it's really good. Homer got them from taking a free test drive at a very fancy car dealership. From my rote internet research, it was Aston Martin, I want to say, that car, or a Lexus, perhaps?
It looked kind of like it.
I forget what it was, but it was a $400,000 car. But Homer basically, he pretends to be
Count Homer.
Count, right, he's a Count. Count Homer, and he gets the tickets to the spa. Marge is anxious about leaving the house in disarray. It's dirty. She's been probably, I imagine she has a kind of a ramp up in every day that things get very dirty. The kids leave the house and Homer does too. And then she has time to clean and get everything straight.
Yes. Basically the rest of the household wakes up, dirties the house. Then they leave and she cleans it.
Yeah. And Homer wants to take her away before she gets to the cleaning part. Maggie is left with Grandpa, which we'll get to is a bad decision, but
I think anyone who knows Grandpa and Homer realizes that's a bad decision.
Yeah, but I guess he would be the logical choice. They don't have very good luck with babysitters. I don't know who else you could call on that they know to look after the baby that you trust more than Grandpa.
I guess Flanders in the first place.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it'd have to be Flanders, and I don't think Homer would do that. I don't think he would go ask Flanders for help like
that's
that.
True. He might not ask Flanders, but I feel like Marge would be like, let's ask Maude to do it. Maude has kids. She doesn't have a job as far as we can tell, so that'd be a good one.
Yeah, but no, Grandpa. Homer's in charge, so he recruits Grandpa. So they go off on their spa getaway. We cut to the school where...
Turn tape over. Sorry.
Yeah, there's a couple good gags at the spa. I haven't really pulled any of them because they're mostly like visual gags for the most part. They get a bit in the steam room where there's a creepy one. I'm assuming it sounds like the Godfather of the Springfield Mafia. What's it, Don Vittorio?
Don Vittorio DiMaggio.
Yeah, it sounds like him, but you'll never see him. But he has no problem being naked in front of Marge and Homer. Gross. A little bit.
Old men are always happy to be naked.
Yeah. Makes me uncomfortable. But they also, they take mud baths where the tape, like Matt said, needs to be turned over. I like there's a tape. It's a tape. It's not a CD. It's a tape.
Well, this was back in the mid-90s, so.
There were still tapes.
I can still see there being tapes.
There were still tapes in the mid-90s. I was using them. But we largely are going to be are concerned with the kids. It's photo day for Bart, so which we heard mentioned in the clip earlier. He's lining up with the rest of his class. Nelson looks amazing, I want to say.
I have to imagine he stole that clothing.
I don't know where he got, but he's like his hair is done. He's wearing like a plaid suit, but I kind of like it. I think it looks, I don't know, it's ugly enough to be cool.
It's like 1890s cool.
Which nowadays is cool. Like that's
well, if you live in Brooklyn, I guess.
Matt, you don't have to live in Brooklyn.
That's true. There are lots of other cities. Austin, Madison.
Madison?
There are more that are missing.
That's
Madison,
the
Wisconsin, is surprisingly. Yeah, yeah.
All right. But they, Miss Krabappel is going from kid to kid, kind of straighten them up. And she notices that Bart has lice, which he got from a monkey that Milhouse has.
Technically, they both, him and Milhouse both had it. They got a basket from, what was it, Trader Pete's?
No, Pier 1. That was it.
Pier 1. Yes. A wicker basket from Pier 1. He was passed out inside.
Yeah, and Bart complains why he got the lice, and Milhouse didn't get anything, but Milhouse seems to have some sort of terrible illness, which they don't specify, but he is shaking.
Yeah, he's pale, he's shaking, he can barely see.
It doesn't look good. The same time, Lisa is being bullied, has her shoes taken from her, and is walking through, you know, has to walk through mud when she's called to the office because they suspect that maybe she has lice as well. If Bart has lice, then she probably would have lice. They burn Bart's clothing, so he is effectively naked. And which I don't think the school is allowed to burn kids' clothing.
No. Even in cases like this, they would have to call in somebody to do that for them.
Yeah. But they call in Lisa, and of course she can't get her shoes. They've been thrown over like the overhead wire, right? Some sort of telephone pole wire or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
So she has to walk through mud. She gets nailed in the back of the head with a some sort of ball. I don't know what they're playing. It's not a football, is it, Matt? Come on.
No, it's like a dodgeball.
Yeah, that's what I figured. And so she bites your tongue, which gives her like a speech impediment. So they make quite a pair. And like...
They look like essentially they're the victims of neglect.
Yeah, the episode does a relatively good job at setting like a worst case situation, like to make Bart and Lisa and the house and everything look as bad as it possibly could, and making it seem possible. Like there's none of these isolated events in this episode make me think, oh, this is crazy. They go, okay, that could happen. And then they put all those isolated events together to make this grand coincidence that makes Homer and Marge look like bad parents.
And
Homer, you could argue one way or another if he's a bad parent. Marge is not a bad parent. She's a very good parent.
She's an extremely good parent. It's just they caught her on a day when she was doing something else.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know if you've been to anybody's house with kids. There are going to be days it looks like that. Sorry.
No, I understand. Skinner senses he thinks there's something off. Like Matt said, it looks like these kids have been neglected, even though you would think he would know better, especially he knows Marge.
He knows all of the parents. I don't understand why he's
I don't they you know, have again they they're, you have to kind of in an episode like this you have to kind of just like wave away your suspension disbelief in certain areas.
Yeah, that's true.
Social workers are called, child welfare agents, whatever, I don't know, they're social workers, basically. They are called to the Simpsons' house, and they don't like what they see.
Whoa, would you look at this place?
Sink full of dirty dishes, trash not taken out, living room a mess, stacks of old newspapers from 20 years ago.
Get ready, gamblers, for the World Series of Dog Racing.
What the heck, Jim? But I get tough.
A disheveled and malnourished man found sleeping in his own filth seems confused and dehydrated.
Where's the baby?
Well, that's her, ain't it? Kids love that water.
Oh, my Lord.
Stupid babies need the most attention.
Maggie, how did she pick up that the thing that Bart had put on Lisa?
I honestly think that Marge picked it up, put it aside, and Maggie just kind of rolled over it.
She does do that. It fell on the ground, and she just kind of like plopped down on top of it.
Essentially, I mean, you know how Maggie walks. She walks for a little bit, falls down. Walks for a little bit, falls down.
Yeah, that's it. That seems like the way of things. Marge and Homer are returning from the spa. They find the social workers in the house with the kids, with Bart in a onion sack, potato sack or something, like a rough
something like that, yeah,
bag as pants, Lisa without any with garbage bag shoes, and basically the social workers are taking the kids away.
Squalid hellhole, toilet paper hung in improper overhand fashion, dogs mating on dining room table. What are you doing with my children?
We're taking them where you can't get them.
What? No. No, you can't. I won't let you.
Mrs. Simpson, restrain yourself or you'll be arrested.
Now just relax, kids. All we're doing is taking you to a foster home.
Haley-ho! Welcome to your new home, Neglectorinos!
Oh, Neglectorinos.
Neglectorinos. So we find out that the kids are getting taken away, and they're being sent to a foster home, which is directly next door to the Flanders.
I find it hard to believe they can select a foster home that quickly, but hey. They probably just recognize Ned and said, oh, here you go.
Again, it's another kind of suspension of disbelief thing. It is very successful in, like, that whole thing. Like, it's a good kind of, I don't know about a gag, but it's very much like, hey, they get in this big van and then just go right into the driveway next door. But that is the end of Act 1. We go to commercial.
And when we come back, we get to see, essentially, we pick up right where we left off with the Simpson family split up with the kids with the Flanderses, and we get a nice introduction.
Kids, meet your new foster family.
We love you!
Please don't hug me. It sickens me.
I don't judge Homer and Marge. That's for a vengeful God to do.
Mm-hmm. All we want to do is give your kids a good home until they get their act together.
You don't understand. Mom and Dad take good care of us. That was a baby tooth. It was loose.
Don't you worry, little girl. We'll get you some nice county dentures.
Good old county dentures.
Yeah, that's what I want in my mouth.
Yep.
County dentures.
Yeah. So the Flanders take in the Simpson kids, and Homer and Marge are essentially despondent. They are not having a good time. But we press on. We see the Simpson kids playing with Rod and Todd, where they're running a newspaper. Something lots of little kids do. It turns out there's an extra, you know, edition of the paper to let everyone know that Todd smells. And while Rod is not too happy about that, Bart feels it was important enough that everyone would need to know.
I mean, if you're not going to publish newspapers about how Todd smells, what are you doing?
Right. He's the older kid. Obviously, he smells. He started to go through puberty. That's when kids get ripe. So yeah.
How old is Todd?
I don't know. He is older than Bart, for sure, because Rod is the same age as Bart. But I don't know that we find out how old Rod and Todd is. I believe they are homeschooled, so we never see either of them in school.
No, Rod's the older. Rod's the older. Todd's the younger, Matt. I wanted to verify.
Yes, sorry. I have him backwards. My bad.
No, but Todd is 8. Rod, Dead Pudding Society says he's 10.
But I thought he goes up against Todd in Dead Pudding Society.
No, the commentary of the golf tournament states that Todd is 10. Bart sells his soul, Flanders family eats out for Rod's big 10-0.
Okay, so Rod is older.
Rod is older. Todd is younger. Todd is told to be said to be. Rod is said. Okay. This is so crazy.
It's philosophical
Rod's
now.
Rod's big 10-0, suggesting the two are of a similar age. My sister, my sitter, Rod and Todd tell a story about a robot named Todd who is a brother named Rod who is 2 space years older. So Rod is... What? Ah, this is killing me. Rod is 2 years older than Todd, so in that case, it would make Rod 12.
Right.
And Todd 10.
That's what I thought. I just got their names mixed up.
I don't...
Todd smells.
We can confirm Todd smells.
Indeed we can. But then Ned comes in with cucumbers with cottage cheese, as they call Flanders nachos, which if you like cottage cheese, it's not a bad snack, to be honest. I'm not a fan of cottage cheese, mainly the texture, but that doesn't seem like a very bad snack. It's kind of like carrots and hummus. I'm more of a carrots and hummus kind of guy, personally.
I would prefer cottage cheese like on a cracker. I like cottage cheese. I would prefer like a Ritz cracker.
Well, yeah, I mean, most everyone would prefer a cracker in place of a cucumber. But, you know, to be healthy, you got to make sacrifices.
Ritz crackers aren't healthy?
Surprisingly not. They are mostly butter.
They have butter in them. Butter's good for you.
Sure it is.
We ate those moon waffles.
It's okay in small, God. It's okay in small quantities, not moon waffle quantity. Never eat moon waffle quantity butter. Oh, now I'm nauseous, or nauseated thinking about that. Oh. Okay, anyway, let's move on past this. Bart and Lisa have a wonderful conversation about how the Flanders house is like theirs with a creepy Pat Boone-ish quality, which, do you know anything about Pat Boone? Because all I know is he's creepy, thanks to the Simpsons.
No, Pat Boone is like a crooner of sorts.
So he's like a folk singer kind of thing?
Yeah, he's mostly known for being a singer. He has done many, many things. If you want to think of recent things, he's still alive. He's 82 years old. But like he was very popular in the 50s. Like, I'm trying to think of a song that he'd have sung that you know. But it's a very much like a... I don't know. Like, he sang a lot of gospel music. Like, it's very much like... It's like Elvis without the rock and roll, I guess.
Wow.
Kind of. Like, he's a very... Like, he is like they kind of imply he's very much like a pure Elvis. Like, I don't know. Like, he's from that era, and it's like a crooner type guy. He's also done... Like, he does it like the clean versions of all those rock and roll acts from that time period. Like, without, like, no, like, less of the sexual connotations, all that stuff. Less of the edge. More recently, like, he's done metal covers in his style. That's what I am most familiar with him as a metalhead. I don't consider them good. They're interesting because he's like an old crooner guy who sings like these metal songs, like his version.
It's like Johnny Cash and the Nine Inch Nails thing again.
Except Johnny Cash is good. I like Johnny Cash. I don't like Pat Boone. He's like that. I can't think of a song. I know that they're out there. I just
can't. Probably not important for our purposes.
I know, but I think like the Flanners household is very much like the Twilight Zone, except the other direction. Like, it's so pure and happy that it makes you feel unsettled.
Oh, fair enough. That makes perfect sense for the joke they were going for.
Yes.
All right. So once this has all been noted, Flanders takes pity on Bart and says, "We'll do something you want to do." And of course, Bart immediately jumps to it. Let's watch Itchy and Scratchy. And Flanders, of course, not knowing what Itchy and Scratchy is, says, "Okay, we can do that." They used to let the boys watch My Three Sons, but got them worked up before bed. I believe that was the joke that went with in this particular one.
Yes. Yeah, it is. Okay. My Three Sons is also. You ever watch My Three Sons?
I've never even heard of that show before this.
Really?
Nope.
Old sitcom. Very boring.
Fair enough.
As, like the Flanders, it's as white bread as they come.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But we get to see the Itchy and Scratchy episode, Faster Pussycat Kill Kill. It's your typical Itchy and Scratchy. I think this is one where Itchy is left on the doorstep of Scratchy's house, and Scratchy raises him as his own son, and then Itchy, of course, kills him, and Scratchy says why. And we get a wonderful response from poor Rotten Todd.
Daddy, what's the red stuff coming out of Kitty's ears?
That's just raspberry jam.
Dad, should I poke Rod with a sharp thing like the mouse did?
No, son. No sirree, Bob.
So, we get to see that the Simpson entertainment is not welcome in the Flanders home.
No, I like it's they're just not compatible.
Nope, not in the slightest.
I feel like I'll ask this question now. It's not really sent. It's not
salient.
Salient. Thank you, Matt. It's not salient at this exact moment, but I feel like they are slowly leading us in this direction. Do you feel like this episode is framing the Flanders, and specifically Ned, as not a villain, but an antagonist?
Antagonist, yes. Villain, no. That's a great way to put it. Basically, I think a lot of people conflate villains and antagonists, but really an antagonist is just somebody who is aligned along a trajectory that is, at the very least, perpendicular to our protagonist, which is always going to be the Simpsons. Essentially, Ned is just someone whose value system and actions are completely foreign to the Simpsons. Everything he does to try and make the world a more less offensive place, I guess you should say.
I would say he's trying to make it better, certainly from his perspective.
Exactly. From his perspective, he's trying to make it better, but from everyone else's perspective, not as much. But that's okay. I mean, he's not really hurting anyone most of the time, so...
I don't know. We'll touch back on this point. I just feel like it's not really. They haven't really shown anything negative yet. It's very much like the Flanders, other than like their house is boring. You know, it's just not fun to be there if you're used to like modern entertainment.
Very much true. At this point, we go back to Marge and Homer, who are missing the kids, and they're basically trying to get by without them, and then Homer snaps and has to try and call the kids, and he gets a very special recording.
The
number you have dialed can no longer be reached from this phone. You, negligent monster.
Oh.
I kind of want to put that as my voicemail.
You, negligent monster. I didn't really get to mention it. I forgot to mention earlier, but both Marge and Homer, both Dan Castellaneta and Julie Kavner do tremendous job in this episode because it is a lot of the I think Bart and Lisa, Yardley Smith and Nancy Cartwright both do really good jobs as well, but I feel like more of the emotion is rest on the backs of Marge and Homer because, you know, they're the adults, they're the ones who have done the wrong, so to speak. And I really, Julie Kavner in particular does a tremendous job as, like, that clip I played earlier with her, like, upset that, you know, when they take the kids away, like, in all her performances throughout this, you can really feel the emotion and the kind of the weight of what this means.
Absolutely. It's more emoting than the both of them normally get to do in an episode, which is frankly fantastic. They do a really good job, like you said. From then, we see Homer and Marge going to court to try and get the kids back. As Robbie has helpfully pointed out in our notes, there is a statue of John Swartzwelder on a horse out front of the courthouse.
I have a reason. I can tell you the reason.
Oh, okay.
Because in Oakley and Weinstein in earlier seasons, your early episodes, they had kind of mentioned various counties that Springfield is in and surrounds Springfield, and they had mistaken Springfield is actually, I think this is canon, is Springfield is in Springfield County.
Yes.
But there is a surrounding county called Swartzwelder County, and they had mistaken that Springfield was in Swartzwelder County. So they had, of course, the person that your county was named after, maybe they were a guy named Swartzwelder, who's a war hero. So you would have him he's a frontiersman, like Jebediah Springfield, but...
Ah, of course.
But I don't know. That's the reason. I don't know. It wouldn't mean anything, but because John Swartzwelder is such a reclusive guy who, like, rarely appears, I don't think has ever appeared on video that anyone has found and very rarely is recorded at all. It's fun to see him.
Indeed it is. He has contributed so much to The Simpsons. It's always good when he gets a little bit of credit for it, which hopefully that's the way people will take it.
He's on Twitter now, Matt.
Really? Oh, okay. Let's pause the episode. Need to go follow John Schwartzwelder.
Well, I want to tell you, all he does is talk. All he does is tweet about you telling you. He just sells his books. That's all he tweets.
Oh, well, I should probably buy more of his books than anything about it.
He seems like the best person alive that could be on Twitter. Like, he'd be full of just, like, very short non-sequiturs that he could just tweet. But I feel like he just, like, no, I'm going to write them down in books. I'm not going to. Twitter is only there to sell the books.
Twitter doesn't pay the bills, y'all.
No, it does not. You don't get paid for tweeting.
Yarp. All right.
Anyway. They go to court. Marge and Homer go to court, Matt.
They do, and they get to see a new judge, a judge I don't think we've seen before. Do you remember this judge?
I don't know. I want to, like, it reminds me a little bit of the judge from...
The Boy Who Knew Too Much.
The Boy Who Knew Too Much. There you go. Okay, which is written by John Swartzwelder.
Yeah, there you go.
But yes, I believe it's the same judge from The Boy Who Knew Too Much.
It is. That's the only other place I can remember seeing her. But she has some very interesting advice for Homer and Marge.
I can see you sincerely want your children back, but... You have a lot to learn about being parents. Before I can return your children, you'll have to complete a course called Family Skills. It teaches parents to listen to their...
Communication, gotcha.
But it's important to...
Listen, yes, I know.
But there's more to it than...
I have listening skills!
Mr. Simpson, would you please...
Shut up, Judge!
So, yeah, as we have proven, Homer does not have listening skills at all. He's really bad at that. Well, we knew that already, pretty much. But the judge enrolls them in a child-rearing program where they'll learn to be parents. Basically a family skills class. From here, we hop back to the kids. We can see that while Bart and Lisa are having a tough time, Maggie loves Ned. Because Ned is showing her attention that Homer basically never does. Maggie, of course, loves Marge because Marge is always there with her. She's the one constant in Maggie's life. Whereas Homer just kind of shows up occasionally and never really plays with her. Whereas Ned plays peekaboo, changes her diaper, does all kinds of, you know, the things that he's supposed to do as a dad.
So, yeah.
And Maggie's not used to that.
No. It's the male attention, I think, is the thing that is making Maggie react that way.
It's true, it's new for her. Bart and Lisa, of course, find everything the Flanders do weird. They put honey on pancakes instead of maple syrup, which I would like to try. That sounds pretty good to me. I would definitely try that out. Robbie, have you ever had honey on pancakes?
I mean, honey and maple syrup are not that dissimilar. Maple syrup is...
Right? That's what I thought. That's why I was like, but maple honey syrup, has kind of tang to it.
Maple syrup's more viscous, though, so it would spread easier in general.
The good kind, anyway.
I only get the good kind, Matt.
I get the sugar-free kind, you know, the kind that you barely taste.
And gives you intestinal distress?
Actually, I'm immune to that particular ailment, as is my wife, so we're a lucky household.
Okay, good.
Anyway, it's also pointed out that they read Newsweek instead of Nothing, which comes from Lisa, which I find extremely suspect.
Well, I don't... it's not that she's not reading it. I feel like the house doesn't... Like, obviously, she's not... One, I don't think she'd be getting her news from Newsweek. At least it doesn't seem a Newsweek reader.
That's true. But although back in the 90s, before there was internet, that maybe...
I would feel that there's other periodicals that Lisa would rather read. But I feel like... I think she means, like, her parents. That Marge and Homer are not reading Newsweek.
That's a good point. Fair enough.
And they eat ice milk.
That's true. No one should eat ice milk. That's why we have frozen yogurt, because ice milk is terrible.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's bad, guys. It's real bad. Those are basically the ways the Flanders household is different and kind of creeps them out. But from there, we go back to the parents, and we get to see them in their parenting skills class, and it's something.
Because making a happy home isn't like flipping on a light switch. The light switch? There are a lot of little tricks to it, things you should have learned a long time ago, such as, if you leave milk out, it can go sour. Put it in the refrigerator, or failing that, a cool wet sack. And put your garbage in a garbage can, people. I can't stress that enough. Don't just throw it out the window.
This is so humiliating.
Garbage in garbage can. Makes sense.
Yeah, I the first time I heard that, I could not stop laughing at Homer getting the good advice of taking out the garbage. Also, the cool wet sack.
I mean, it is a good idea to put your garbage in a garbage can.
It is. It makes it much easier to get rid of it rather than just throwing it out the window of your car, which people do, and I want to smack them.
It's not as bad as it used to be.
That's true. It's not nearly as bad as it was in the 70s. All those don't litter things have helped.
Yeah, back in the 70s and into the 80s, litter was much worse of a problem. We are getting better.
Slowly but surely.
Slowly but surely.
Just like we always do.
Yes.
Anyway, from there, we get to see that the kids have getting tucked in by Flanders, which is very sweet. But then we find out it's 7 p.m. and it's still light out and all the other kids are playing. So the Simpson kids are not super happy, but that's just how things roll in the Flanders house. It's always the middle of the wintertime. We also get to hear Ned singing to Maggie, which I'm sure Homer has never, ever done. Their own little made-up song.
Well,
which is very sweet.
It's not made up. It's I've Got You, Babe, just with different lyrics.
Okay, sorry. To me, lyrics are the hardest part of a tune or of a song. So when I say made up new lyrics, that's practically a whole new song to me. But you're right. The tune is I Got You, Babe.
It's I Got You, Babe. It's just very much. It's about the episode, which I mean, it's,
indeed it is.
They do. They're good writing by Maude and Ned. They
indeed.
Next Weird Al. That's Ned. Weird Ned.
Weird Al meets Ned.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that episode.
They had Weird Al. It did not meet at Flanders.
That's true. We also get to hear that Bart and Lisa are, of course, concerned because Maggie hasn't been a Simpson as long as them, so she hasn't succumbed to the Stockholm Syndrome yet. She is not as enamored with the Simpson lifestyle, and they're worried that she could be swayed to the Flanders side of the aisle. From here, we go back to Homer and Marge, and we get to see what they're like without their kids, and it's not a happy scene, guys.
It's so quiet here without the kids.
What I wouldn't give to hear Lisa play another one of her jazzy tunes. Saxophone, saxophone. Oh.
I miss the way Bart would say something and then say, dude.
I wish I knew something about the baby I could miss now.
You mean Maggie?
That's it.
We've never been separated from the kids for so long. I don't know how much more I can take. That's Bart's ring!
I just, at this point, it's mostly a visual thing where they go downstairs and they pick up the newspaper that the kids have left them with the extra Todd smells, which is still valuable information, like we said before. But on the back, it also says that Simpson kids miss mom and dad. So, yes, they are breaking the law, but it's totally worth it. It's totally worth it for them. And this really hits me right in the feels because these poor people, like, you guys know me. I'm not big on kids, but being separated from your parents or your children has got to be the worst thing, especially when it's through no fault of your own. And like Robbie was saying earlier, Dan Castellaneta and Julie Cavern do a fantastic job of taking these characters who are mostly there for the jokes and making you really feel their pain. And as a way to end an act, it ensures that the commercial break will probably be seen through tears.
Yeah, it was that. I, of all the moments in this episode, I think that is the most effective to me. It really does sell the heartache that Homer and Marge are feeling. Like, they miss their children. They love them. You know, despite all the hijinks and we see all the time in the family, like, and Bart and Lisa, it's reciprocated. They miss their parents. And it, episodes like this really do nail, they add context to all the episodes. Like, you can have this episode in mind where you're watching a more crazier, hijinksy one where, you know, it's not much about the relationship. It's about just, yeah, it's funny. Here's jokes. But this is in your mind, you know, the whole time. You realize the love is there.
It is absolutely true. And I'm going to stretch this really far. So tell me if I'm getting off track. But I feel like when people have a character in mind, like this is very much apropos of The Simpsons. And I just started to watch Batman v Superman and I had to turn it off halfway through. So this struck me as a very interesting parallel that over time there are episodes like this one. And I'm sure there are issues of Batman that Robbie is particularly happy about or basically inform your version of the character. And when somebody basically trounces upon that and changes it, it really, there's an incongruity that hurts you. But it also makes it so that in other times when somebody, I don't want to say calls back, but hints at other times when characters have been in similar situations or doesn't go into a deep explanation of how a character feels, because as a character who has already seen that, an experienced situation, it resonates with you on a whole new level as a fan. And this is one of the episodes that really do it for Marge and Homer.
Yeah, this is, episodes like this, not just this one, but the ones that are heavier on, you know, feelings, emotion, characterization, give you, you have an impression of those characters and it continues on. And even episodes that occurred before this one, because of the kind of the timelessness of the show and how, like, the floating timeline and people, like, we're just getting confused about how old Rod and Todd are, like, and they're constantly jumping back and forth between time, it informs everything you see. And I don't know. I'm not super high on this episode. It seemed like a lot of people are, but I do appreciate the fact that it is willing to go, like, hey, here is serious stuff and here's serious emotion.
Serious emotion to the point where, like, it almost hurts how amazing it is.
Yeah, it's really sad. Act 3 begins with Homer in class, in the family skills class, with Cletus on his lap acting. They're doing some role play with Cletus as his son and Homer as the father. And Homer has to try and correct himself and be a good dad, which he ends up doing and to applause to the entire class. Homer and Cletus.
Well, it was a big achievement for him.
Homer and Cletus reunite from after some supposed wrongs that they've done to each other. Cletus, I don't think we mentioned this before. Cletus sounds a little weird in this episode. He's a little bit off because from what I've read, Hank Azaria and the creators forgot how Cletus sounds in general. Because
essentially, yeah, he hasn't really been.
Yeah, he hasn't existed a lot. He hasn't done a lot up until this point. So. Over the break between the production runs, they just went, he's a rednecky guy.
He's a hillbilly.
He's a hillbilly. He sounds like that. We get, it's Saturday night. So the Flanders they're playing Bombardment of Bible Questions,
Yay.
Yeah, which Bart and Lisa are bad at, and Ned is flummoxed by this.
Well?
I know!
No, son, we gotta let Bart and Lisa get one. Come on, this one's easy.
We give up.
Well, guess. Book of Revelations, fire-breathing lion's head, tail made out of snakes. Who else is it gonna be?
Jesus?
Jeez! Oh, don't you kids know anything? The serpent of Rehoboam? The well of Zohasadar? The bridal feast of Beth Chedruharazeb?
Wait, that's the kind of thing you should start learning at baptism.
Actually, you see, we are never baptized.
Ned faints. Maud has to get the smelling salts, and they only work momentarily. Then he faints again. We get a glimpse of the graduation ceremonies for the family skills class. So Homer and Marge have passed, but then Marge gets a false positive on her drug test. Not sure how you get a false positive for meth, PCP, and crack.
Yeah, that seems like to me they messed up and got Cletus to sample instead.
Yeah. Oh no, poor Cletus. But after a very quick secondary testing, they find that she's only guilty of loving her son and daughter. Some LSD.
That's all she needs, a little bit of LSD.
Yes. Ned is upset. He, like, his worldview, he can't understand children. I mean, they go to church. I think that's his the way he can't understand it, is how ostensibly the Simpsons go to church every Sunday, and yet Bart and Lisa are not baptized.
It does seem a little odd, but I always, okay, the fact that Homer is their father is whatever. Essentially I feel like Marge would have taken care of that. It seems weird, would have slipped her mind. That seems like I think that would be important.
I can see it. You know, it's not outside of the realm of possibility that Marge wouldn't have them baptized. I can see situations where she would wait, maybe.
Maybe, yeah, it's true.
I'm not...
I mean, you know, there are some Christian sects who believe in waiting until you're a fully grown and a cognizant adult. So, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe Marge is one of those.
Maybe Marge... Yes, Marge is definitely the more religious of both Marge and Homer, but I still can... It's not outside the realm of possibility that she would not have them baptized at a young age. Ned doesn't know what to do, so he calls Reverend Lovejoy.
Hello, Ned.
Reverend, emergency. You see, Simpson kids, Italy, baptism, Italy, doodly doodly.
Ned, have you thought about one of the other major religions? They're all pretty much the same. Damn Flanders.
Looks like I'm going to have to baptize you myself.
Emergency baptism air horn.
Important. Every household needs one of those.
Yeah,
of course.
You need your emergency baptism kit and emergency baptism air horn. Very important. So they pack up all the kids. The Flanders pack up their own children and the Simpsons kids, and take them on the way to get baptized in, is the Springfield River, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm a big stupid lame-o who wears the same sweater every day. Yeah. Sorry, we'll get to that.
But I mean, it is. They are taken to being baptized, and Homer and Marge are on their way home and go over to the Flanders house to reclaim their children now that they are legal. And there's a sign on the door, gone baptizing. So Homer is upset. He's like, I kind of hinted this at the end of last week's episode about the controversy in this one of what I've. And this is not everywhere. A lot of people just don't care. Like, they still consider it a good to great episode. The people who do criticize this part of it.
That's, I can see that. I can see where they're coming from in that case. I disagree with them, but I can see where they're coming from.
Yeah, I don't really criticize. I don't know. It's at this point that Flanders becomes a little bit scary. I mentioned that earlier that he's not a villain. He's just the antagonist. You know, everything he does is synonymous with his worldview for the most part. The critics would argue that despite Ned being a die-in-the-wool Christian, they would put it that he's a good parent. You know, he takes care of his family. Kate takes care of his children. And having foster children, which up until this point, we see him taking the utmost care and love to the Simpsons children.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing about his behavior towards them that is untoward. I mean, he continues to act the way he does towards his own children. Maybe that's the root of it, that if his own children weren't baptized, he would certainly get them baptized. But I don't know. Some people argue that Ned, being aware that these are his foster children, and that he even mentions a couple times in this episode that it's always until your parents get back, you know, to the way they need to be, you know, like until they're approved again, until they're ready, and then you'll go back to them. Ideally, that's how it would work, but, you know, he takes it upon himself to baptize other people's children who ostensibly he'd be only having for a short amount of time.
Ostensibly, but I feel like, okay, in defense of Flanders, he feels like these children are essentially souls in his care, and the fact that they're not baptized is essentially, to him, dangerous. I don't know, we never really get into Ned's particular flavor of Christianity, but there are some sects that believe that that if you die unbaptized, you go to purgatory and have to essentially work your way into heaven from there. But if you're baptized and you're too young to understand what happened, then, you know, you go to heaven straight away. So I can see where Ned would see that as a crisis of spiritual health enough to do something like this. As somebody who doesn't really care about baptism, I don't think I would care if he baptized my kids, but I can see where other people would be upset that somebody else would do something like that. But I feel like you said, Ned at this point is an antagonist, not a villain, and I think a lot of people get those two confused, essentially.
I don't necessarily see it. Like, I think their argument is that it sullies Flanders as a character in a certain way. Like, it makes...
I completely disagree.
I don't necessarily agree with them. I do feel like it is... I think my complaint with this episode, if I have one, is not the fact that Flanders makes these choices as a character. It is that that the episode makes Flanders the antagonist when... Like you said, he's doing in his mind, he's doing everything in the children's best interest. When the Simpsons always have been portrayed as like, hey, we are the anti-authority show. You know, that mm-hmm. at the end of the day, we're not trying to pick on any specific person or power necessarily. It is more like all authority should be questioned. And we don't get like, I don't know. I feel like they go really light on the failure of the Springfield's children's welfare serve, like the social workers and all, and the judge. Like they seem to get off easy. While for some reason, like the antagonist of the episode becomes Ned Flanders.
Yeah,
you understand what I mean?
I definitely see where you're coming from.
I don't like in. My sister was a social worker for a short amount of time, and she had to quit because it was a very rough job, and she could not take it. There is a person in one of the news group reviews who say, like, I just couldn't find this funny because it was like these kinds of issues do happen, and they just couldn't get past that. Like, their knowledge of the real world issues around children getting taken away. And that stuff paints the episode just too much. For them, it is too much, and they can't find it enjoyable. Which,
I mean, I feel like that happens in entertainment a lot of times, especially when you work in an industry like that. There are going to be some times where something that is meant to try and attempt to be touching but makes a few jokes about it is not going to be enjoyable as for you because it brings up bad memories. I mean, we shouldn't even mention Jurassic Park, something I'm sure episode that I'm sure was meant to be a little bit funny, but a little bit touching, and ended up making grown men essentially not able to watch the episode ever again.
Yeah, I don't know. This episode, I don't think that any of those things are as egregious as some people say, but I think I do kind of resent a little bit the fact that they make... we're off track a little bit, but here are the kids on the way to the baptism.
Until this, I never thought Homer and Marge were bad parents, but
Now I know you kids need a less hellbound family.
Just sit back, and before you know it, you'll be part of the Flanders flock.
You're gonna be Lisa Flanders. You're gonna be Bart Flanders.
Oh, relax, Bart. Your sister Maggie isn't scared.
That's because she can't talk. Daddy doodly.
That is followed right after with Maggie doing, like, a full-on, like, exorcist head spinning around 180 degrees.
Yeah.
Which, there's that. So Homer and Marge are chasing. They're on their, they're like, it's like a little bit of a chasing. This is, and it, I will say that there is an, like, a tension here, even though, I mean, baptism in and of itself is a symbolic ceremony.
That's true. I feel like the reason there's tension is because this baptism means something to both families. It may not to us, but to them it's very important, and that's where the tension comes from.
And do you sense fear from Bart and Lisa here?
No, I mostly from them sense resignation and a little bit of anxiety regarding Maggie.
They're more worried about Maggie than them themselves?
Absolutely, because, I mean, okay, we've said before that Bart and Lisa are essentially proxies for the writers, and I'm sure there are very few Simpson writers who care about baptism in one way or the other, whereas Maggie is their little sister who doesn't know any better, and they're worried at what direction their lives are going to take at this point, because they don't know that Marge and Homer are coming for them.
Right. Here's a little clip. This is a very short one, but it is the thing that I think is most painting Flanders as Ned as a scary character.
Today we write a new page in the Flanders Family Bible. Who wants to be the first to enter God's good graces?
That reading, that last sentence he says, I feel like, do you feel like they did that on purpose? Like, it's supposed to be a little bit of, like, I don't want to say, like, I'm trying to think of a good word. It's because it's not like he's, like, a terrifying serial killer or anything, you know, but it is very much, like, I sense a little bit of, the religious, heightened religious fervor in his voice.
That and the music, the organ music in the background, it kind of takes him more towards a scary horror villain than sort of antagonist.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's, again, like, there. I think that is my only complaint about the portrayal of Flanders in this. I feel like all his choices are sound, but it's just the way that he's portrayed is very much like he's suddenly like, I don't want to see Ned as a villain. And I think that this is the thing that the only time. It's right here at the end that they shift a little bit away from just straight up antagonist to like, hey, this is bad. Because, and especially the way that Homer and Marge pursue him. And I understand why, like, and this is not unique to this because I feel like Homer in particular, in Two Bad Neighbors, the way that Bart is punished by George Bush and Homer gets upset about that. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's the same reason he's getting upset about this. He's like, it's my kid. If I want him baptized, I'll baptize him. I'm not saying it's a pure reasoning from him. Like his reasoning for it's very much like he's my child. It's my, it's my responsibility kind of thing. And if I want to do it, I'll have it done. I'll get him baptized myself. So it's not out of a character for Homer to be upset at Ned. It's a difficult thing to portray with subtle tone. And I feel like that one reading is the one thing that kind of just gets me a little bit.
It kind of detracts from the tone of the episode and Ned's characterization. So it makes it not as good as it could be.
Yeah.
Essentially.
But Homer is, Marge are chasing after him. They like Matt said, Homer puts himself in Flanders' mind and realizes that they're at the Springfield River. They pull up and they're not that far behind them. Homer cuts through the woods down a hill and of course trips and falls and stumbles his way down the hill. A little bit of physical comedy, try and lighten the mood a little bit. Homer sees Bart about to be baptized. Bart will be the first one. And Homer jumps in the way.
Wow, Dad, you took a baptismal for me. How do you feel?
Oh, Bartholomew. I feel like St. Augustine of Hippo after his conversion by Ambrose of Milan.
Why,
Wait, Homer, what did you just say?
I said shut your ugly face, Flanders!
Oh, fair enough.
That's pretty good. Homer takes the bullet, so to speak, the baptismal bullet for Bart. Bart and Lisa are super happy to see Homer, and Homer is super happy to see them. Maggie, however, is not so quick to embrace Homer. And this episode does kind of paint that their relationship is not as close as it could be. I mean, aside from Aunt Maggie makes three, Maggie is generally like a forgotten child from Homer's perspective, at least.
Yes. There are several times he almost sits on her.
Yes. And we get like a really interesting moment where Maggie sees the two families, Ned and Maude and Rod and Todd, are like in the like it's idyllic, like pasture with flowers and it's bright and sunny. And then she looks over at Bart and Lisa and Homer, and they're in the water, and there's a frog, and it's swampy and dark and gross. But she starts to go towards the Flanders, but at that last moment she sees Marge. She's Marge's hair, which I like that. I really, really like that she sees her hair first, because that is kind of a little bit of a callback to Homer Alone.
Because I was going to say, it's like that is essentially Homer Alone is Maggie looking for Marge's hair.
Yeah, and she like it is a little subtle thing where Maggie recognizes her mother's hair, and she will you say about you will about Homer. Marge is a spectacular, caring mother, and Maggie sees her immediately, veers off course from the Flanders and goes to Marge, who embraces Maggie herself, and they're reunited as a family. It's a very kind of happy moment. And Maggie, it's also a great Maggie burps. Maggie, you're a Simpson again, and she burps. You know, it's a nice little metaphor there. And as they're walking away, they make fun of Flanders.
What was it like at the Flanders house?
Yeah, give me all the dirt.
Let's see. Dirt. Well, there wasn't really much dirt.
There was a bunch of old paint cans in their garage, though.
Old painty can Ned. I always knew he'd keep his old cans of paint.
Yeah.
I don't like that. That's the criticism they have for Ned, is that he keeps paint cans in his garage.
How dare he?
I know, he's a monster. I don't know. It's a good episode. I'll say that. Like, I don't have reservations about that.
That's true. It's a good episode with a few detractions that take it away from where we would want to go.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there are a few. It is very. Despite what we did talk about how well the emotion is sold, I just don't find this episode super funny. Like, I feel like there are laughs in it, but it is, like, it reminded me of Homer's Triple Bypass a little bit.
Yes, it has a lot of heart moments, a few funny moments, but nothing really puts it above the mass of great Simpsons episodes.
And we will we're going to have trouble, I think, but we'll figure it out. We'll rank it at the end of the show. No submissions for this for my favorite episode, but if you do have a favorite episode, please submit it to SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com, explaining why a certain episode is your favorite. And I'll read it when we get to that episode. Next up, Matt, it is time for comments from the newsgroup.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the newsgroup is where we'll comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons newsgroup and try and find stuff relevant after the episode has debuted, a week or two after I check it. It's archived on Google Groups. Unfortunately, the next, I don't know, handful of episodes, probably, I don't know, five or six maybe, just the newsgroups are just like basically gone. There's nothing there really. So I'm pulling this stuff from Simpsons Archive, which is a pretty good resource for concise kind of thoughts and feelings about the episode at the time. Very mixed feelings I get from the reviews. Like, Matt, you can see them. I posted them in our notes. I don't want to read everything, mm-hmm. but it's like, I'm looking, like, I had four in a row that were like, A, this is like a return to form. This is as good as the Simpsons are. and then multiple in a row where it's like, I didn't think this is voices are anyone else agree that there's something missing this season? Voices are different. Plot lines have a horrible critic-esque quality.
Rip it on the critic
as well. It's the double shot there. There's, you know, I just had like, and there's the, including the review I mentioned about the person who's like, hard to laugh about child abuse and neglect. There are parents like Marge's classmates. And, oh, yes, there are. And then finally, like, one guy, this is the first episode of The Simpsons where I didn't even laugh once. Pretty sad.
I find it hard to believe they didn't laugh once, yeah, but I guess there are some people without funny bones.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. I can understand why this episode would hit people in the wrong way, because it does. It's The Simpsons, and you try and take any, even on their most serious, when they take on serious subjects and try and just make light of them, you try and just like forget about the existence of that stuff. But I don't know. I can understand. It is still funny. There are funny. There's funny stuff. Todd smells. You know, that's funny.
You negligent monster.
Stupid babies need all. Stupid babies need more. That, like, there are saxophone. Those are funny things.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I don't. It's like, as we continue, I feel like there's just that schism is just going to be there. That there are people who are going to like this direction, and this is of these, especially season 7 and 8. This is very much a very more realistic episode. Like,
right.
We are going to be getting into territory which there, you know, really odd, crazy stuff happens, or, you know, it's more wacky or even metaphysical things going on. This is definitely more a older style episode where it's more like, hey, it's a dysfunctional family trying to live in a world that's hard on them. But that's it. We can move on to our next segment. It's time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
The listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite Milhouse quote? Oh, there's so many good ones. So many. You guys did a great job again. Thank you for your responses. There's a few of them I kept seeing pop up a lot, so I did. I tried not to use repeats, but I do appreciate all you guys participating. Please keep it up. First up from Jared. Remember the time you ate my goldfish and you lied to me and said I never had any goldfish? Then why did I have the bowl, Bart? Why did I have the bowl? I mean, that, yes.
That's logic. Good job, Milhouse.
Yes, Milhouse does a good job. Chris, both times when Milhouse isn't wearing his glasses and says, nice doggy. First to a horseshoe crab, which he attempts to pet, and then to an oncoming truck that hits him. Amy, when he opens his bedroom door and water floods in, my feet are soaking wet, but my cuffs are bone dry. Everything's coming up Milhouse. That is, yes, that is the most popular response. But there's,
damn it.
You're allowed to use the most popular response. It's the most popular for a reason, Matt. Chris, did you see that movie where they send a nuclear submarine to fight the piranhas and one of them swims right down the periscope and bites the guy in the eye? And he goes, ah, and that old lady told him what would happen? Yeah. That's good. Will, but I'm all Milhouse. Plus, my mom says I'm the handsomest guy in school. Zach's answer, this is great, and all I've done is enter my name. Thrill House.
Thrill Ho.
He says Thrill House, and it says Welcome Thrill Ho on the screen. Chris's answer, when she sees you'll do anything she says, she's bound to respect you. That, Milhouse.
Yep, that's how that works, all right.
Milhouse, from experience, that's the wrong way to go. Wrong way to go, buddy. I think that's why I sometimes I'm a little uncomfortable with Milhouse's portrayal. It's a little bit too close to young Robbie Holm. Holly's answer, it begins and ends with, oh, puppy goo-goo, fetch me a dream. Freya at Freya Joy, big boys don't drink moo-moo from a baba. They drink moo-moo from a big boy cup.
Yarp.
John at Jive John, step over this line and say that. I'll kick your butt. At Nintendo. And finally from Ryan at Hero of Time 816. As he plummets from the Springfield Dam. My glasses. Matt, what is your answer?
I'm going to have to go with the, my socks are soaked, my cuffs are bone dry. Everything's coming up Milhouse. Just because I feel like everyone remembers the everything's coming up Milhouse line, but no one ever remembers why he says that. I think that's the way funnier part.
I'm torn because there's a lot of really good ones that I'm kind of that are close, but the Burns from Burns Air where he goes to audition and Bird's like, I said no geeks. And Milhouse is like, my mom said I'm cool.
Oh, man, I forgot about that one. That one's so good.
It's really good. There's so many. And a lot of these were included. With Bart on the Road, where Bart talks about they don't need Martin nerding it up, or Nelson says something like that, and Miles is like, I've got that covered, or something along those lines. That's also really
cool. Right.
Next week's question, what is your favorite religious moment? And I mean anything, religion, anything involving religion.
Oh, I got mine.
Already?
Oh, yeah. It is something that pops into my head to this day, and every time I have to laugh a little bit and then get weird stares from my coworkers.
I mean, that's appropriate. I will post this question all of our social media, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. You can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Like us, follow us, you know, social media words. I will post this stuff. I post any Simpsons-related things that pop up during the week. Try and keep things that are interesting, at least. Now we can move on to our next segment. It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will try and challenge each other with 3 trivia questions. 1 easy, 1 medium, 1 hard. Try and stump the other. We are going to have a wager for the season, but we still got to work it out. We've both been very busy, Matt in particular, and once things settle down a tiny bit, we're going to figure this stuff out probably within a week or two. I'll start us off, Matt. You ready for an easy question?
Yes, sir. Hit me.
These are all from The Mysterious Voyage of Homer.
El viaje misterioso de nuestro Homer.
Yeah, Homer. Appropriate pronunciation. I'm really bad at that stuff. Your easy question. Who voices the space coyote?
That would be Mr. Johnny Cash.
The aforementioned Johnny Cash. That is correct.
Yes, indeedy. All right, sir. Your question. What is the name of Apu's wife first seen in the two Mrs. Nahasa Pima Petalons?
Manjula.
That is correct.
Your medium question. Homer finds, in The Mysterious Voyage of Homer, a robotic lighthouse keeper named Earl. What does Earl stand for?
What does Earl stand for? I know the R and the L. I have no idea. Something automatic robotic lighthouse.
Well, come on, Matt. You got the letters.
Right, but what E?
Yeah.
Give
me an E word. I want an E word before you give up.
An E word. Okay, fine. Let me see here. What's a good E word that applies to lighthouses? Evil automatic robotic lighthouse.
Matt, you're going to kick yourself.
Probably.
I tried to give this to you because you don't even have to remember it to work it out. Electronic automatic robotic lighthouse.
Of course. I thought the automatic was wrong, to be honest with you.
My medium question?
All right. Your medium question, sir. What god does Homer pose as to interrupt the wedding?
Is it Ganesh?
You are correct, sir.
I wasn't sure if it was that or not, but...
You'll experience his wrath.
Yes, your hard question, Matthew.
Oh, boy.
In Mysterious Voyage of Homer, Homer goes to Moe's searching for his soulmate. In Moe's are 9 different Springfieldians.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Wait. All of whom identify their relationship with Homer. Name 5 of them with their identified relationship.
Oh, okay. If I remember correctly, Barney is a chum. Mo is a well-wisher. Carl is a contemporary. Lenny is an acquaintance. Is that 5? No, it's 4. Bumblebee Man is his compadre. And this might work out the other 3. Who else is in there? Literally no one is coming to mind. For some reason, I want to say Snake was there, but I'm pretty sure that's wrong. Anyway. Am I right or am I wrong?
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
You got 3, right?
Oh, man.
Barney is chum. Bumblebee Man is compadre. Moe is a well-wisher in that he doesn't wish him any specific harm.
Specific harm, right.
Lenny is a crony. Carl's an acquaintance. Larry is a colleague. Sam is a sympathizer. Kearney is an associate. And Hibbert, Dr. Hibbert, is a contemporary.
Oh man, I was way off. What was I thinking?
I don't know. You're crazy.
Uh huh.
What's a hard question, man? Give me a hard question.
All right, your hard question. It's pretty tough. All right. In the two Mrs. Nahasapima Petalons, there is a bachelor auction. Name the women that win Apu or the rejects.
All of the rejects?
All of the rejects or all of the women?
I like this. This is good, Matt. I like this question. This is good. can you tell me how many rejects there are?
Let's see, rejects, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There are 9 rejects.
How many women are there? I'm sure there's less.
There are 4.
I'm gonna go with the women. Let's see. Miss Krabappel, Miss Hoover, single women in Springfield. At this point, what's her name? The blonde lady. I can't think of any more.
All right.
What final answer. Name them. Yes.
Okay. The women are Miss Hoover, Ruth Powers, Luann Van Houten, and Selma. I believe you were thinking of Lindsay Nagel.
Lindsay Nagel.
She wasn't
really.
She wasn't a big character yet. Okay. The rejects.
Go ahead. Let me think of how many I can name. Let's see. It's
okay.
Barney, Mo, Disco Stew. Try to think of the other Bumblebee Man. Throw him in there. I don't know. Give me. What are they?
Okay, you got 3. Barney, Mo, and Disco Stew. There's also Otto, Mole Man, Kirk Van Houten, Comic Book Guy, Professor Frink, and the Sea Captain.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay. I'm wrong in both regards. So, but
well, yeah,
I like that question. That's a good question, Matt. I am soundly beating Matt right now, 10-3, and this is how it's gonna be. So Simpsons tattoo it is. Matt's gonna have to get a picture of Homer over his own face tattooed.
Wow. So that's what it's gonna be, huh? I can't agree with that, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. We'll figure it out. Got a couple ideas already. If you guys have any more, send them in. We'll probably figure this out within a week or two, hopefully. We got a long way to go. There's 20 plus more episodes. We can move on, Matthew.
We can
to our final segment. Segment we end every single episode with. It is time for best episode ever. Best episode ever is the part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. This is a little tricky. It's a tricky
one. It really is. I'm trying to think, and I'm like, what is a comparable episode? I think you hit the nail on the head when you said Homer's Triple Bypass.
I did, but I feel like it is better than Homer's Triple Bypass.
Oh, yeah, it's way better than that. Like, Homer's Triple Bypass is way down at 68. I definitely think it's better than that. When I look like more than 10 episodes above that, I'm like, well, it's not as good as that.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you were saying.
I'm right there with you. I'm thinking about it. So, I don't know. It is a very well written episode. Like it is, yes. Like all the, and very well performed. Like they take a very serious thing and they really nail the gravity of Marge and Homer losing their children for even a very short amount of time. I could see it going higher. I would say, I don't know. How about, what do you feel about low 40s?
Low 40s.
I'm looking at Secrets of a Successful Marriage, which is a relatively serious episode. You know, it's Homer and Marge.
It's true. And you actually picked one of the ones that are, you know, the obvious, you know, Homer and Marge split up kind of thing that I. It's kind of like this episode in that it's well produced. It's interesting. There's a lot of good character, but it's just not super funny.
It's not. It's not one of the hilarious episodes. It's like, hey, there's.
Right.
It's still funny. There's still good jokes. It's just that the subject matter doesn't necessarily lend itself to the kind of humor you get in the super funny and hilarious ones.
Right. And my only worry about that is a couple episodes below that is A Streetcar Named Marge. And I really feel like A Streetcar Named Marge is actually better than this episode. But I just don't know.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
You think this episode is better than A Streetcar Named Marge?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Mm.
I would put it definitely, I think it's definitely better than Bart Gets an Elephant.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
I'm thinking about secrets. Well, I'm thinking about Secrets of a Successful Marriage, and I'm just I'm trying to replay that in my mind. Like that plea of Homer at the end is also very heartwarming and very touching.
It's true, but I feel like this episode. Okay, if we're comparing it to Secrets of a Successful Marriage, I believe this episode is better.
Okay.
Due to the vagaries of how we make our list, maybe some better episodes are below it, but I definitely think it's better than...
It's not vagaries, man. I can explain it. It's very simple. There are two of us. You may think it's better. I may think it's worse,
yeah.
So that we split the difference. It's called compromise. It's not that complicated.
Yeah.
Okay, if it's better than Secrets of a Successful Marriage, is it better than Homer at the Bat?
I don't think so. I mean, that's just me, but I love Homer at the Bat. I think you do, too.
I like it more than you do, actually. I think that I think that one's a little too low. See what I did there, Matt? I just did the same thing you did.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. I agree.
Okay. I think it's in a fine spot. 42. How about that? Does that sound good?
Sounds good to me.
Home sweet. Got to actually reference this.
Home diddly, a dumb doodly. Come on, Robbie. God.
Yeah, I know. It's so easy. Home diddly, dumb doodly. Number 42 on our list. Number one on our list is Cape Fear. Last on our list is 124 is Homer's Odyssey.
We're getting there. Someday soon.
What do you mean by soon? Within our lifetimes? Yes.
No, it's within our life. Within probably 2 to 3 years.
No.
Hmm.
I mean, two, three years, our years? Yes.
Our years, not Simpsons years.
Not Simpsons years. You can find this list at our website, broken down by season, by Treehouse of Horror segments, broken out separately. You can find links on our website to every single new episode, downloadable and streaming, links to our RSS feed, links to our Facebook and our Twitter if you want easy ways to get to those places, links to our Patreon if you think the show is worth a dollar or two, throw it our way, really appreciate it. Oh, Matt. You know what our next episode is?
I don't know. Let's check the list. I believe it is
Bart Sells His Soul.
Wow. All right. That's not necessary, I would say.
Really? Are you sure? It's pretty necessary.
I can hear it. Bart Sells His Soul. I can say it in a non-terrifying way.
I'm incapable of that. Sorry.
I guess that's true. I love Bart Sells His Soul.
It's a great episode.
It's my favorite Bart episode.
Wow. All right.
So expect Matt to try and keep me from putting it like number three or something.
I will definitely work on that.
I really like it. I can't wait to talk about it. Let's see. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixmasterCereal. That's MixmasterCereal. You can also please check out my comic book podcast. It is Handsome Boys Comics Hour. HandsomeBoysComicsHour.com on iTunes, etc., all those places. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're certain to love Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true. However, I will be at Dragon Con this upcoming weekend. Actually, you guys will get this after that's over, except for the last day. So sorry about that, guys. But if you're there on Monday, I will be too. So, hey, maybe you can try and find me. I'll be in disguise.
No, you won't. You hate cosplay.
Shh, that's my disguise.
Okay, you're doing a reverse Adam Savage. In that,
exactly.
So you're just hiding in plain sight.
Yep.
All right, with that, I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching the Simpsons.
Shh.